Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
My name's Josh. My lovely wife Kate is here as well. And that's gone. It really is a privilege to be here tonight. We're excited. I'm privileged to be here. And I do want to say we do run the campus. We're campus pastors at Wangara North, but we live south. We live south, and so I feel like I'm amongst family here today. I've always lived south of the river. Not quite as south as Port Kennedy, but definitely south. And so we're looking for a place up north, but we are sad to leave the south. South is best. I want to take a moment to honor your incredible campus pastors, Pastor Mel and Pastor Mark. Thank you so much for everything you do here. You guys are blessed. You have incredible campus pastors. You don't get to have a church like this without incredible pastors. 5 p.m. services. Come on. Be amazing. You guys are the new crew. Who here is like an exclusive of 5 p.m.? You're like, I've come after the 5 p.m.s have started. No, you guys are all transplants. Was it from the 9 a.m.? Was it you're tired of the wake up early, or was it the 11? I won't go any further. All right. Get your Bible. Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. Who's got their physical Bible here today? I love it. That directly correlates to the anointing in the room. And so I'm glad some of you have brought it. Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. It says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly, someone say suddenly. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Yeah. We just close your eyes for a moment. I want to commit this sermon and this word to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that it is alive and active. And so, Father, we pray today that we'd be changed in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. It is one of the most... Sorry. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And it's one of the most significant days in our church's calendar, where we celebrate and we remember the day the Holy Spirit came and filled that upper room. But what I love and what I think is powerful about Pentecost Sunday is that it isn't only a chance to remember, it's a chance to partake. It's a chance to be a part of it. We can walk in that very same power today, because how many know Pentecost changed everything? Pentecost changed everything. You know, often when we think about Pentecost, we think about the tongues of fire. We think about the rushing wind. We think about the individuals being filled with the Spirit. And all of these are amazing. And they're all important. But tonight, my heart is this, that we would be reminded that those signs and wonders were not primarily given to make us look impressive. Yeah. They weren't primarily given so that other people would marvel at our services. The primary reason that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to the church was to equip the believer and the church for the work of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to wow us. It wasn't given to create a spectacle. The Holy Spirit was poured out to equip the body of Christ. And so tonight, can I submit to you that when we think of Pentecost, we have to look firstly at what it means for the church. And so before we look at what Pentecost means for the church, to give some context and some background to where we're going, I want to briefly recap kind of what has gone on up to this point. Is that okay? In Mark 8, Jesus predicts his death. He says, hey, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, but then I'm going to rise again. And then throughout the Gospels, and in Luke 23, it says this: Jesus dies on a cross, and in Luke 24, he rises again. Yeah. John 16:7, Jesus says something crazy. He says, it's to your advantage that I go, so that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, can come. And then in Acts 1, he appears for 40 days. He teaches about the kingdom. He promises the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 1, verses 9, Jesus returns to the Father. He ascends. And then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost. The Spirit that Jesus promised is received by the church. And it's the same Holy Spirit that lives in us today. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was made manifest on the earth. I'm so glad he lives on the inside of us. I'm so glad that he speaks to us. I'm so glad God didn't leave us till Jesus comes back. And it all started right there in that upper room, that in that upper room, the Spirit of God fell, and we now live in and with that same power. But I want to put it to you tonight that often one of the most significant ramifications of Pentecost is missed when we think about what happened on that day. So see, not only at Pentecost were people filled with the Spirit, not only were there tongues of fire, not only did the Holy Spirit come upon man, but at Pentecost, the church was birthed. Pentecost was the birthing of the church. You and I are in this room today because of what happened at Pentecost. That in that moment, not only did we receive a spiritual gift, God established his church here on the earth. On that day, the church was birthed. And so if you're taking notes tonight, the title you can write down is this: The Church, the Spirit Birthed. The Church, the Spirit Birthed. If we take a look a little bit further down in the book of Acts, we see very clearly what kind of church was birthed. Turn with me to Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. This is going to be where we kind of camp tonight. Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. This is the kind of church that was birthed at Pentecost. It says this: They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, Pentecost didn't just give us the gift of tongues. It wasn't just an amazing prayer meeting. Pentecost birthed the church. And so what I want to do tonight is have a look at what kind of church was birthed at Pentecost. What's the kind of church that we're trying to be a part of? What marked it? What set it apart? What did it go after? Because if the Holy Spirit himself birthed the church, my heart is that our church would reflect that. Because the reality is we're the same church. We're the same body of Christ. 2,000 years later, we aren't a separate organization. We're the very same church, the very same body of Christ that was birthed in that upper room. Because we know that the church isn't just a building. It's not just an organization. It's not just a legal entity. The church is you and I. The church, before anything else, is the gathering of believers. And that's why all around the world, some people meet in amazing facilities like this. Some people meet in homes. Some people have to meet underground where our faith isn't tolerated. But it's all still the church. Because the church is the body of believers that was birthed at Pentecost. And so when we think of church, and we think of the church that we want to be a part of, can I submit to you that the question isn't as much, well, what should the church I attend be doing? Well, what song should we be singing? Well, what program should we focus on? What type of services should we have? As much as who should I be and what should I be doing to build and be a part of the church that was birthed at Pentecost? What's my role? How can I serve? How can I contribute? And when we read about the church that the Spirit birthed in the book of Acts, that there are some amazing things that took place. And so tonight, I want to focus on a few of those things that the early church was about, because I feel that is the kind of church that God is calling us to be today. Is that okay? If you're taking notes, the first thought you can write down is this: the church, the Spirit birthed, believed for the miraculous. The church, the Spirit birthed, believed for the miraculous. Let's go back to our passage in Acts 2, verses 42 to 43. It says this: They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. See, the church that was birthed at Pentecost believed and went after miraculous. And we stand here today, or we sit here today, with the same power that they had. Our passage says the people were amazed and filled with awe at all the signs and wonders that were taking place. And church, I want to encourage you that those same signs and wonders are available for us here today. Because the early church, it wasn't just founded on doctrine, it was founded on doctrine and a demonstration. We see this all throughout the book of Acts, following the church being established, we see the healing of a lame man at the beautiful gate. We see Peter and John released from prison by divine intervention. We see the place where people gathered be shaken. We see Philip. This is the most glossed over miracle in the Bible. Yeah. Philip teleports. Yeah. Philip is in Ethiopia and he teleports to Europe. Yeah. I know. I'm still believing for a teleport. I'll tell you what, driving up to Angara with that traffic, I'm believing for a teleportation miracle. But stand with me. I'll respond to the altar call as well. We'll pray. We see Paul, he heals a crippled man. Paul and Silas are freed from prison by an earthquake. Miracles are what the church was birthed in. And it wasn't just in that upper room. The miracles continued. Scripture is really, really clear that the miracles were not reserved for Pentecost. They're for the church now. In fact, Jesus said this directly in John 14:12. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." We're called to be a supernatural church today. Can I encourage you with a testimony? Is that okay? There was a young girl at our church, and she had ovarian cysts, and she was kind of, I think, 14 or 15 years old, and I'm not at all a medical professional, but from what they told me, that this was quite severe and it was very painful, and it was going to actually impact her fertility and having a family in the future. And so, understandably, she was pretty upset and she was in need of a miracle. And there were some people who decided, hey, we're going to be a church that believe for the supernatural. We're going to believe. And they prayed and they believed. And 2 weeks after she did that, she got a scan, and that scan was completely clear. The doctors had no clue what had happened. She's had no signs of anything ever since. It was amazing. And what I love is not just the testimony, which is amazing, but it's a picture of what the church is supposed to be. It's a picture of people believing and gathering together. And today I want to share a few testimonies with you to stir your faith and bring us to that position of believing for the miraculous, because I want to be a church that goes after that. I want to be a church that sees blind eyes open. Like, I want to be a church that sees couples who are on a fertility journey see their miracle. Like, I want to be a church that sees, people be baptized in the Spirit of God. I want to be a church that believes for and in the miraculous, because I want to be a part of a church that the Spirit birthed. That's who we're called to be. If you're going through something, if you get a diagnosis, if you have a situation with your family, my prayer is that we as a church would pray, would get around you, would believe, because that's the church that we're called to be. I want to tell you this morning, I said this morning, I'm used to preaching in the morning. We just got the one service so far, but one day we'll be at 5 p.m. too. But I want to encourage you tonight that there is power in being a Spirit-filled, miraculous, chasing church. And I want to submit to you tonight that what we do says a lot about what we believe. What we do says a lot about what we believe. In fact, I would go so far as to say, what we do says more about what we believe than what we say we believe. Yes. I think, if I can put it like this, many times we're happy to believe in miracles, but more reluctant to believe for miracles. Wow. Yeah. See, it's one thing to say, well, yes, theologically, theoretically, I believe God could heal someone. I believe it's possible. But it's another thing entirely to be a church that says, oh, well, if you're sick, I'm going to lay hands. I'm going to believe. Or you have that financial situation, I'm going to stand with you. We're going to pray for provision. Believing in something doesn't mean you're believing for something. And so my heart is that we'd be a church that doesn't just believe in miracles, but believes for miracles. I've observed that when it comes to believing for the supernatural, the problem usually isn't a desire. If we were to take like a quick straw poll in the room now and I said, well, who would like to see more of the miraculous? In fact, let me ask that. Who would like to see more of the miraculous? Yes. Amazing. Yes. Full of hands. No one wants to see less of the miraculous. Yeah. And the problem usually isn't belief in the supernatural either. In fact, in order to be a Christian, the first thing you have to believe is the miraculous. You've got to believe that Jesus came, fully God, fully man, lived a sinless life for 33 years and then died on a Roman cross and then rose again. It's quite the miracle. And so if the problem isn't believing in miracles, and the problem isn't believing that, miracles are possible, well, what stops us from believing in miracles? And I want to suggest tonight that the blockage comes sometimes, or the issue is, we have to actually step out. We actually have to step out. See, part of being the church, part of being the body of Christ is actually stepping out in faith. But how many know that can be easier said than done? You know, those of us who knows Pastor Ken Fletcher? Isn't he amazing? I love Pastor Ken Fletcher. Pastor Ken Fletcher, he taught it to me like this. He said, Josh, oftentimes faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Often faith is spelled risk. See, faith for miracles means that we have to step out. We have to step out and ask that person if we can pray for their healing. We have to step out and actually test that word of knowledge. We have to step out and speak to that stranger that God is calling us to. And sometimes the key to overcoming the barrier to the church, walking in the miraculous, is as simple as deciding that we will take a step of faith, that we'll be vulnerable, that we will obey the voice of God. And oftentimes, and I include myself in this, we can kind of fear rejection or awkwardness or being misunderstood or even disappointment. And it stops us from stepping out in faith. But my heart tonight is that on this Pentecost Sunday, we would be stirred once again to be a people that don't just believe in the miraculous, but believe for the miraculous. That choose to be the church that was birthed at Pentecost. The church that was birthed at Pentecost believed for the miraculous. And I believe there's a call to activate and take up that mantle here tonight. Is that okay? Yeah. Amen. The second thought I felt to share tonight about being the church that was birthed at Pentecost is this, that the church the Spirit birthed was missional. The church that the Spirit birthed was missional. Going back to our passage in Acts 2, verses 46 and 47, it says this, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, the church that was birthed at Pentecost wasn't just a social gathering of believers. It was a group of believers that knew they were on a mission. They knew they were on a mission. How do we know this? Well, just 40 days prior, Jesus had given the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, it says this, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. See, church, can I encourage us tonight that our mission hasn't changed? Our mission hasn't changed. We call to be a missional church. The people of the early church were under no illusion that the reason they were commissioned at Pentecost was because there was a mission. There was a city to be won. And that is still what our church is about today. See, Pentecost wasn't a destination, it was a starting line. Everything about Pentecost was about being able to fulfill the Great Commission. In Acts 2, verses 5 and 8, it says this, now there standing in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native tongue? See, the tongues were a gift and they're an intercessory gift. But in that moment, they were a supernatural sign. They were a catalyst that pointed people towards the supernatural nature and story of the gospel. Because this was a church on the mission. See, the missional church, it's not like an optional ministry model that we have. It's embedded in the DNA of Pentecost. That was the church that was birthed. And often, and I say this with love, often we can be like full-time Christians, but part-time witnesses. We have a mindset where there are some areas that are for God, church, connect, campus prayer, Who's excited? 6 a.m. prayer is back, by the way. Yeah? That's good. Yeah, we was way quieter at Wangara this morning. When I said, some areas are for God. But kind of subconsciously, some areas are kind of just for me. You know, when I go to work, they're not Christians there. You know, when I go to school, when I'm at community sport, church, I want to encourage you this morning that the church that was birthed at Pentecost was not compartmentalized. They didn't live compartmentalized lives. There has to be a sense that wherever we go, we're missional. We want to see people won for Jesus. That we're called to be a church that always has margin in our lives to see people added daily. So I ask you tonight, well, who in your world needs to be added? Who in your world needs to be added? Is it your workmate? Is it your neighbor? Is it your friend? Is it a family member? Because the church should always be gather and then scatter. The church's early growth wasn't because of amazing conferences. It wasn't because of great marketing and programs. It was because of authentic witness and supernatural power. Can I encourage you with another testimony tonight? You know, I love this testimony because it, for me, it's the church at its best. It's the church being a missional church. And it's about two people, actually five people. It's a whole family. But there's an amazing couple called Corey and Nikki who are at Wangara. And they've come to faith recently. But the story about how they came to faith, it stirred me because I realized this is the church. This is who we called to be. We last year, we started a new Christians team. And I want to tell you, this is an amazing team. Like, these people are amazing. They're on fire. They love seeing people saved. Like, they don't just look after our new Christians on a Sunday. They, like, go out midweek and evangelize in, like, markets and at the beach. Like, they just go out. They're gangsters. And so they go out and they're evangelizing. And they meet this couple at the beach and they just tell them about Jesus. They say, hey, we want to share the gospel with you. Is that okay? And they were open to it. And that was Corey and Nikki. And they shared this full testimony at our church recently. But Corey had been released from prison and they had a family. And it hadn't been easy up to that point. And that our new Christians team, they evangelized to them. And they said, hey, would you be interested in coming to our playgroup? We run a playgroup. We just started that. And they were like, yeah, sure. And so they came along to the playgroup. And from the playgroup, someone at playgroup said, hey, would you want to come to church? Would you invite them to church? And they came to church. And they came to church and they gave their lives to Jesus at church, which was amazing. They got saved. And then someone at church said, hey, are you in a Connect? Can we get you in community? And then they were invited into a Connect and they've made great friends with like their whole Connect now. And then at Easter Sunday, mum and dad were baptized in our church. And I love this story because it was the church being the church. But at every point that the church was evangelizing and then welcoming and then accepting and then celebrating and getting around. And ultimately, we saw a miraculous change in this family because the church was the church. Because the church was missional, that at every point in their journey, someone did their part. Yes. I want to encourage you that tonight, that the church that was birthed at Pentecost, it wasn't a comfortable closed club. Yeah. It was a church that was taking ground. Yeah. People were added because the church decided, hey, this is who we are. Yeah. We're the church. We're going to see people added daily. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. But that power, it wasn't just given for amazing spiritual experiences. Yeah. Although those are amazing and encounters are amazing, but it was given for evangelistic power. The daily additions were the result of a church that was filled with the Spirit and convinced there was a world to be won. Right. The church the Spirit birthed was missional. Amen? Yeah. The last thought I kind of feel to share tonight is this, and band, if you join me as well, that'd be amazing. The church, the Spirit birthed at Pentecost, was a community. It was a community. You know, that word community, at times it can seem really nice and really fluffy and a good idea. But I want to submit to you tonight that community is not only those things, it's supernatural. Community, like the gathering of believers, it's supernatural. Acts 2:44 says this, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. See, this was a church that did life together. that they were together. They had everything in common. They made sure people had what they needed. They met regularly together. In fact, they met every day. They had fellowship together in their homes. They had the favor of all people. Because the church that was birthed at Pentecost, it wasn't just an organization, it was a community. It was a supernatural family. And today our church is called to be the same. We don't do this Christian walk alone. And see, this is why it's important to understand this. It's because our understanding of church as a community will determine how we interact with the church. When I have a revelation that the church is a holy family that I'm a part of, I'm not a consumer, I'm part of the family. I need the church and the church needs me. It shapes our attitude when we come to church. Am I coming to consume or am I coming to contribute? And this isn't to say you need to be on this team or be on that team. It's not about how many hours we serve. It's about how we see our church. Because church, it's not just a service for me. Church is my family. Church is my community. And it's supernatural. And our understanding of our church as a community before an organization or a gathering means that our interaction should go far past a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. I want to encourage you, immerse yourself in the life of church. If you're not in a connect, be in a connect. Get along to Heartbeat. It's going to bless you. See, community, it's not just a nice thought. It's not just a comforting place. The power of community is that it has the power to transform someone's life. It is supernatural. I want to share this story. And this story just warmed my heart. We had Mother's Day. I think everyone had Mother's Day recently. You guys have it down here as well, Paul Kennedy? It made it down here. That's awesome. That's awesome. I thought you guys were like, you guys are so far away. You might have different dates. I don't know how it works. But same time zone just. But it is. But so we had Mother's Day coming. And one of the mums in our church, she's an amazing woman. She'd fostered a bunch of kids over her life. And that fostering journey is not without challenge. And kind of one of her foster kids, who was now a man, he was a young man, 20 years old, he'd recently come back into her life, and he'd actually agreed, hey, I'll reconnect and I'll come with you to the Mother's Day service if you want. And she was, you know, really excited about that, but he also said, look, I don't really want to come because I don't really have any clothes to wear. And I saw this message from the mum who kind of put it in our campus group chat. And I remember being a bit confused because I was like, we're not the fanciest bunch up in Wangara, and you know, anything is fine. You know, like he doesn't have to wear anything special. And but what was amazing is that one of our young adults was like, hey, well, here's what we'll do. We're all gonna put money together, and we're gonna meet him, and we're gonna pick him up, and we're all gonna go shopping with him. We're gonna buy him clothes. And we're gonna go out for dinner with him, and then we're gonna hang out with him. And so we went out and we did this, and I went to pick him up. And I'm gonna be honest, like I was shocked. This guy had lived a tough life, 20 years old. He already had two kids, and he had one shoe, and he had a pair of ripped shorts and a stained T-shirt. It's literally all he had. And our young adults were amazing. They got around him. They formed a community around him. They said, hey mate, well let's take you shopping, and they bought him dinner, and they bought him a whole new wardrobe. And there's a bit of a tennis craze going on in Wangara now, so we all play tennis together. He played tennis with us. He's part of the community now. He's part of the family. There was a dignity that was restored. That was the power of community, that someone said, no, I'm not just going to read this text message. I'm going to be what he needs me to be. I'm going to get my own money. I'm going to make sure he's okay. I'm going to pick him up. I'm going to buy him dinner. I'm going to take him and be a part of our family. That's the power of community. And my heart tonight is that you feel encouraged, you feel activated, empowered to help build a church that reflects the one that was birthed at Pentecost. To believe again for the supernatural. Each and every one of us has something to bring. And every time that we bring what we have to the house of God, we position ourselves to be used by heaven, to bring heaven to earth. I want to encourage you tonight, believe that God can take your natural and turn it into the supernatural. He can take your musical gift and turn it into a catalyst for his manifest presence. Dare to believe he can take what you bring and do the miraculous.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.